RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's always fun to hear people's favorite memories of the stadium on this occasion that it's closing. I kind of think that after Sunday, then it's the playoffs, and then it'll be about the new place. I don't think we'll do it. I don't expect to have an instinct in the spring or summer to be like, what are your favorite memories of the stadium? Maybe when they take it down, which won't be that far off in the future, we would want to do that. But I think after Sunday and then the season ends or the playoffs end at whatever time, I think we just kind of, all right, so what is this new place going to be like? You know, we've done some of that too already, but I kind of feel like this is it. This is almost last call for the stadium memories. You know, I'll probably want to do more of it through the week. Tyler Dunn with me now, golongtd.com. How extensive are your memories of the stadium, Tyler?
Hey, pleasure to be here, Mike.
Yes.
And merry belated Christmas to you and yours.
And to you.
You know, I guess memories are kind of divvied up into a couple of buckets. There's the memories from a press box, just, you know, covering it. Mm-hmm. On that side of things, and I don't know, like some that pop into my mind. Remember when the Guinness Book of World Records showed up for Rex and the gang, and they thought it was going to be so loud, and they're going to take down the Patriots on the heels of beating the Colts, and then, I don't know, the Patriots kind of did Patriots things. But I don't know, way back in the early 90s, I kind of remember going to my first Bills game as a 5 or 6 year old with Dad, and I think it was a preseason game, and all I remember is Dad with the ultimate save, lifted me up as somebody was drunk behind us, just puked all over my seat. Like, it was an unbelievable dad move.
Special.
So hopefully I can pass that on to my kids.
I went to, there. I don't know if it's famous, but in 1980, the Bills won the AFC East. They had, I don't know if they'd ever done it. I think they had never done it. And there was a late season game against the Rams, early December. 10-7 overtime win. And I would have been 9. And I was there with my friend who was younger than me and our moms in the end zone, like halfway up in the end zone. I don't remember anybody throwing up. I just think back to that now 45 years later, and just I'm always in amazement that that happened. That mom and her mom friend took the boys to a Bills game, a late Sunday, huge game against the Rams, and sat in the end zone. Like that. There's a famous picture or video after that game of the Bermuda Triangle Bills dancing on the field like a conga line. And I'm pretty sure we were long gone by then, but I can tell you that we were there for that.
I mean, and that's the thing. I'm 38 years old. My memories are more my dad's memories. Like, you know, like everybody listened, he's at the comeback game, but he stayed. He stayed after that pick was Bubba McDowell. He said he turned to his buddy and said, "We owe it to these guys. It's the end of the run. We owe it to him to stay," and they stuck it out. It's on VHS somewhere in the attic, I'm sure.
That's awesome. My Rams game, by the way, Vin Scully was the play-by-play announcer for that game. What do you think Sunday will be like, Tyler? I'm having a tough time with it because, I mean, I'm immersed, like most fans are immersed in the season and the playoffs and the matchups and everything like that. Will Sunday feel like what we want it to feel like? Sal said yesterday to me he thinks it will. Because the pressure is kind of off Sunday, that the playoffs are going to happen and this doesn't really affect too much. But, man, the fact that they're not likely to play a home playoff game here, for me, puts a real damper on things.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think everybody assumed they'd be a home playoff game, which, God, it spent a whole generation wondering if they'd ever get one, and then it became this rite of passage. So it is weird that they aren't likely going to be playing there at home right. in the playoffs. But I don't know. I think there'll still be all kinds of nostalgia, right, for all the memories we'll be replaying through grandfather's heads and father's heads and everybody's in the stadium. They'll soak it in, and it's the Jets. I mean, this is not an NFL team. This is a joke of a franchise. I don't think it really matters who the Bills put on the field. They're going to win. The Jets are just straight up George Costanza quitting. I mean, really, they're going all out. They don't even have an interception this year. It's unbelievable.
Amazing, amazing.
So I think it lends itself to just a big old party for all involved, and then you just kind of look ahead to the playoffs.
Is this, by the way, the low point for the Jets after 14 years of missing the playoffs already? Have they been this bad before? Maybe?
Gosh, I mean, there was the Adam Gase era was pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know,
2-14.
Greg Williams took over and they did the all out blitz. And I mean, that there's been some low moments, but this feels about as bad as it's been. You've got players on the field who have no business, you know, being on a roster. So it, just in terms of a general lack of talent and direction and hope, there's nothing. I mean, what do you hang your hat on if you're the Jets? Is there any way you can spin this? I can't even think of any positive to take from this experiment whatsoever, which, I don't know. Like, I was around the Lions the last few years. I kind of love Aaron Glenn and his coaching style. I mean, guys would run through a wall for him. They won 15 games when they're down to the studs on defense. It just, I guess some coaches are equipped to be coordinators and some are equipped to be head coaches. And here's example number 1,392.
Breece Hall going for 1,000 yards, but I think he's up. Like, his contract is probably up. He's the same as Cook. If I'm not wrong, he'll be a UFA next year. So even when it's good, it's not so good. But pretty good to go for 1,000 yards on that team this year. All right. Well, Tyler, of course, I'm talking every day about the playoff picture and potential matchups. It feels right now like, starting with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, yeah, we could move up a seed, but we've got guys who are banged up. I mean, he does have a broken left hand, I suppose, but still. I think coaches are going to lean toward rest, even when they have some stake in terms of seedings to play for here. We'll see what happens with the Bills. The Bills sound like that to me. The Eagles sound like that to me. Maybe the Patriots will get there because they'll think that Denver will probably win. What do you make of it? Is it the right attitude for a team, or does it vary?
I'm laughing because, you know, I don't know if you call it Sean McVay after they lost to the Falcons. I mean, he's just pissed. You could just see it written across his face. They just lost the game. They didn't think they'd lose in a million years. And he just answers on pure emotion. Like, everybody's going to play.
Yeah.
Right? Almost like your high school basketball coach. Everybody hit the line.
Right.
We're running sprints. And we're going to run sprints all night. Like, he looks so mad. And I'm sure he slept on it and thought about it. And even the Rams, as bad as they looked, what's the upside? I get there's the whole rust debate, and we've seen it. I mean, back when I was at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Packers went 15-1, and they had a bye, and then they played the Giants, and yeah, they looked out of sorts. And you know, I don't think Aaron Rodgers played in that finale, so he was the MVP. He didn't play for a couple weeks. But then, and even thinking back to then, there were so many other things going on. Their offensive coordinator, Joe Philbin, I mean, his son just tragically died that week. And I remember Aaron Rodgers had never been to a funeral in his life. He's going to a funeral that Friday. I mean, you can cast a pall over Lambeau Field. Nobody was really in the mood to play a football game, let alone their offensive coordinator wasn't even around all week. So I don't know. Like, you can kind of pick apart those examples, even that being an extreme one. I feel like every team is so banged up. Every team has injuries. If you can take a week to let guys heal, take it. Like, you want to be as healthy as possible in the playoffs. And I think the Bills probably realize that as much as anybody. I mean, I'm still picturing AJ Klein, you know, chasing Travis Kelce down the field on a route. So yeah, if they can rest, they're going to rest. You know, pick, I mean, hold some open tryouts at Orchard Park High School if you got to fill a spot.
With Tyler Dunn, the Bills and Jets Sunday, 4:25, final regular season game at least at the stadium. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. So how do the Bills look to you? I keep thinking about how long it's been since they've had a really complete four-quarter win, which, you know, that's not necessarily the fairest way of gauging a team. Like, wins are wins, but it just seems every week there's something. Either they can't stop the run or they can't throw the ball. Sunday was more the latter of the two. You've just had very few games since early in the season, only a couple all year, really, I would say, which were just sort of an easy ride. And again, like, that's not to say every game should be, or when you play Philadelphia, it's not good enough if you don't win like 27-10. I don't want to sound like that. But it worries me for them that they struggle so often in different areas, knowing that they probably have to win three road games to get there.
I think that is definitely the mainstream thought, and it's, I get it. Like, I can feel it. I'm sure you do too with your callers every day. Like, there's this growing anxiety that is justifiable, because nothing has come easy. You would think all these coaches and all these players, they got to be sick and tired of walking in to halftime down a touchdown, down two touchdowns, playing terrible. And then they make the adjustments. They come out. They're a different team. Things turn around. But, you know what, you've mentioned this a few times, and I'm right there with you. What I can't get out of my head is, from the start, we've said we've got to judge this team on January. It's about, can the defense get a stop in the playoffs? That's been the problem. Go back to – I mean, this doesn't even count that Texans 2019 wild card crazy comeback where Deshaun Watson's running all over the place. There's been 40 non-kneel down drives in those five playoff defeats, and they've allowed 22 touchdowns, 9 field goals, created only 2 turnovers, only 8 punts. They're giving up 166 points. That's 4.15 per non-kneel down drive. That is historically dreadful. So I get it. We have to talk about this offense that has kind of been sputtering, but they're still averaging 28 points a game. They've got, I don't know what they are now, going into the last game, they're the number one rushing attack, the reigning MVP at quarterback. It looks different. But part of me thinks it's okay that it looks different. You've got to evolve. They've tried the whole spread approach, right? I mean, back to Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs and just throwing it all over the place. So, okay, now you've got a rushing attack. Now you got something that can maybe travel onto the road. So I hesitate to ring the alarm bells on offense. To me, it's still about that defense. Can you just steal a possession or two and not turn it over on offense and win by any means? I think they can. Like, I still think you may be going into the dance with the best quarterback and the best running back and an offensive line and a wide-open AFC. I mean, hell, they might be one and done. Jacksonville, they've got a solid roster and one of the best coaching staffs. I get it, but I would take those odds still if I'm Buffalo. And, you know, I think that's where we judge them. It's the pressure to me is still on the defense that time of year. And it does help that Andy Reid and the Chiefs aren't around. I mean, Sean McDermott has definitely evolved, and we've seen it. You saw in that Eagles game, loved the decision to go for two. He's been uber aggressive. I think it helps that his old mentor isn't around. For whatever reason, he has been tight into those games. So that's a good thing. It hasn't been pretty, but I'd still be pretty optimistic if I was the Bills going into this particular tournament.
I like it. You know, the other side of that is the quarterbacks they'll face and whether they can rise to the occasion. And that will be, you know, some combination, if the Bills win games, of Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, Drake May, maybe even Stroud or one of the other guys. And is there one of them, like, let's start with May, because he's the MVP favorite. This week might not even show anything, May or Stafford or anybody, if teams play backups. So he might have the MVP in his second year, 13 wins. It's hard for me to imagine that he doesn't play a good game in the playoffs. I don't know if he can do what Allen has done, but I wouldn't really want to – I'm not in a hurry to bet against him.
Yeah, I think he's the MVP, and he's going to be a problem for a long, long time. It is interesting. I was just chatting with his quarterback's coach as a rookie, T.C. McCartney, and some really good insight where, you know, sometimes you get these former coaches and – They don't have the nicest things to say. And then the nicest things to say about Caleb Williams in Chicago was ugly for a million reasons. And then you talk to a T.C. McCartney, and he's calling Drake May the smartest person in the building, regardless of player, coach, whatever. Blown away by his intelligence, by his work ethic, by his gifts. And he thought that maybe they were still a year or two away from Drake May elevating into the elites because Josh McDaniels' offense is just so damn hard to learn. I mean, you're given all the answers to the test, play in and play out, but it's not just that 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 progression. It is, I mean, you are reading the defense, and he's getting it. It hasn't taken long. He has figured it out, and he's figured it out without much of a supporting cast. They're good, not great, and now they've got to deal with all this Diggs drama, surprise, surprise. So, I think May he's the MVP. He's outstanding. And to me, even though you just beat New England and you beat him in thrilling fashion in their house, I think that would still be the toughest challenge if you're Buffalo because they've got the quarterback.
By the way, on the Diggs situation, I haven't commented on it at all today, but I would guess that even as serious as it sounds, this is going to be a thing for next year. These like Rashee Rice, these kinds of, they're not all the same, but I would assume that it doesn't interrupt Diggs' availability to the Patriots, but am I being naive?
Well, I think that it's on purpose. The league can kind of do whatever the hell it wants, right? And the players signed off on this. They don't have to wait for stuff to go down in court. They if they want, they can just have their own investigation. They can levy their own punishment. They can pay you not to work. Roger Goodell, I mean, they can do whatever they'd like. So I suppose you never know. If they're angry enough at Park Avenue and want to make an example out of this, or they have some substantial hardcore evidence, which who knows, maybe they can get their hands on that. It does not sound good, to put it lightly, but I'm with you. I think they'll probably wait. I mean, it's almost January. The playoffs are here. I think that they would let this get into the offseason, but you never know.
There's a commissioner's exempt list. Interesting that before the season started, we had Stephon Diggs on that boat with some interesting substance, among other things that were going on there. And we might have been thinking about a suspension or something coming his way. But he had the torn ACL he was coming off of, and he beat the schedule. So nothing ever really came of that. With Jacksonville in mind, Tyler, earlier you used the word solid. And I think that that's probably a popular word for the Jaguars. Is there the upside, the overall talent and ability to win in the playoffs? They've, you know, not been a team that's done that anytime recently, almost ever. So how threatening is Jacksonville? Are they a solid team that you'll have to not turn the ball over to beat, and if you're clean, you'll be able to do it? Or are they maybe better than that?
You know what's impressive with Jacksonville is it does seem like, gosh, we've been talking about Trevor Lawrence taking the next step in perpetuity, it seems. But it feels like he finally got hard coaching, and he has responded to that hard coaching. Mm. And Doug Peterson, guys loved him, and they had a wild, 2022, when they're completely out of it, and they fight their way back, and they had the comeback against the Chargers. But I don't think Doug Peterson is going to get in your face. Like, that is just not his style. And Liam Cohen will. You saw it. Like, he would lose his mind in September and October. There were several clips that kind of went viral where Trevor Lawrence screws up, and the coach isn't happy, and if we're seeing that publicly, you can only imagine what's going on privately. But whether it's Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen, you know, Ben Johnson, he's been really hard on Caleb Williams from day one, and Caleb Williams has played from under center, by all accounts, has responded to that hard coaching. Like, these new coaches working with these new quarterbacks, something is clicking there in Jacksonville, and the talent's always been there. So if he's disciplined and he doesn't turn it over, that's been his mistake, you know, seasons past, I think that, yeah, he's still their ticket, because you know it's in there. It's been in there since the Clemson days. I still don't feel like it's their time. I don't know. Maybe it's just you grow up in this game and you see young quarterbacks and first-year coaches, and they kind of have to go through it for a few years before they beat a weathered team like Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo, they've been wanting to hit that simulate the January button all season long. So they know what this time of year means. But how can you not be encouraged, though, when it looks like this relationship is just going to, like, combust at times early in the season? And instead of combusting, you know, Lawrence has been really, really good.
I like that point on Doug Peterson. I always kind of liked him and took for granted that he was respected. I mean, he played quarterback in the league and won with Philadelphia. But as you're laying that out, I'm thinking of the timeout before the Philly special, and Foles goes over to the sideline, like, let's run the Philly special. And Peterson's like, all right. All right, I guess, if you want to. What is it you do here? It looks good on him when it works. Maybe two more here, Tyler. How about Denver? The one seeds, if it's Denver and Seattle, two preseason long shots, especially Seattle being in that spot. Also, off bye weeks, two notoriously hard places to win for road teams if they end up being the ones. To put it this way, if Denver and Seattle get the ones, would you expect at least one of them to make the Super Bowl?
I like Seattle, and you know, we got to kind of like be careful with how much we praise this team when we just saw this out of Sam Darnold, right? He was in this game. You win it, you're the number one seed, and they got smacked by the Lions last year. Then they get smacked by the Rams. If you can pressure him up the A-gap, up the middle, he can still panic. You've definitely seen those moments even this season. So it's a big if. He's a variable. Can he handle that pressure and not force one into double coverage? I think that's got to be a concern. But if they can get through this San Francisco game, I think that Seattle is a tough out, man. They're 1-53. It's hard to find weaknesses on that roster. John Schneider has done such an amazing job with his drafts, just completely reloading, trading Russell Wilson at the perfect time. And, yeah, they're positioned to win now and win for a long time, regardless of how Sam Darnold develops. But to be a Super Bowl contending team, you obviously need to see it out of them. And I don't know, I guess every time you want to believe in him, he kind of has one of those games. And you can't have one of those games in the playoffs. But if you're playing at home and you're able to rest for a week, all you got to do is win twice and you're in the Super Bowl. I think I like Seattle. The more I think about this game, I think I like them a little bit more than San Francisco. I mean, the 49ers defense is just, gosh, it's so patched together. I mean, you've got practice squad guys out there. To their credit, they're figuring out a way to win some of these games. But that's a tough way to make a living.
How about Purdy, though? What a player. Suddenly. Did I just say that? What a player? Is that a little much? Just thinking maybe in fantasy context, 5 touchdowns each of the last 2 weeks, total touchdowns. They're tough to beat, offensively at least. McCaffrey, get Kittle back. Purdy is just really on.
Hey, he wasn't good enough for Syracuse football, though. He wasn't quite good enough for my alma mater. He wanted to go there bad. He was in tears when they told him no. And there he is, you know, doing the Dougie in the end zone. That touchdown throw, I'm still trying to figure that one out. Brock Purdy, at his size and his athletic capabilities, he was just like Frogger, just kind of moving up, moving back, moving aside, and just darts that touchdown. Yeah, he's been worth every nickel. I think that, you know, it's got to be encouraging because you wondered, man, is he just a product of this like group of monsters around him at every position? And he's just kind of like this placeholder, this point guard, just kind of throwing a bunch of short passes. No, he can make plays on his own. And this has been an unreal season for Kyle Shanahan. I think he should be coach of the year. What he's done with those injuries, you want to talk about wide receiver core. I mean, they had Kendrick Bourne out there. They pick up Sky Moore,
yep.
DeMarcus Robinson, who's played for half the league, like, and they were scoring points. Oh, but with Mac Jones at quarterback, by the way. So it just goes to show, you know, if you've got an offensive mind at the helm, pushing the buttons, like, it can go a long way. And maybe it's not fair to compare anybody to Kyle Shanahan because he is at the cutting edge of everything in the modern game. But man, what he's done is incredible. I mean, they can line up in a formation. And one play can look the same down in and down out, and they can just do a million things out of it. So if you're a linebacker and you're trying to key up on a tight end, you don't know what the hell is going to happen because everything looks the same, but they can do so many different things, run or pass, out of the same look, unlike any team in the NFL.
Tyler, thanks so much for your time. GoLongTD.com. Real quick, anything new that you want to tell people about?
Sure, yep. I have it pinned at the site if folks want to check it out. I was able to sit down with Jordan Poyer at length. It was a psychedelic journey and then some through his last half decade. My God, there's a lot of stuff that I don't think anybody had a clue what he's really been through in mind, body, spirit, all the above. He was such an open book. And I think after you read it, like myself, you might want to try a little ayahuasca or at least a little breath. He's at a very good place right now.
Happy New Year, Tyler. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Anytime.
All right. Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com. Next, Paul Hamilton. The Sabres on a nice little 9-game winning streak. We'll get into them after the break. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, maybe that's getting put to the test. That's up to Paul to decide for himself. I feel like now, if you ask Paul or anybody, are the Sabres going to win tonight? The answer is obviously yes, Paul, because that's all there is anymore. Nothing wrong with that, but how about all this? From the GM change, they get that overtime win in Edmonton after being on a losing streak, after blowing the 3-0 third period lead in that game, and they have not lost since. Now they're going to St. Louis and making it look close to easy. Does it make sense, Paul?
Well, actually, if somebody asked me if they're going to win tonight, I would say no, because
no game. Yeah, good point. Good point.
But no, it wasn't easy. Just in the first period, they had gotten behind. It was a pretty even period. And then all of a sudden, in the last 40 minutes, they took over. They outshot the Blues 26-9 in the last 40 minutes of the game after being outshot 9-8 in the first period. And Lyon, you know, he slammed the door. A lot of people thought maybe Lyon should have had both goals. But even if he should have, I mean, from 8:09 in the first period on, he slammed the door. That was it. That was all the Blues would get. And he made some really good saves along the way. He didn't have to make many, only 9 in the last 40 minutes, as I said. But still, especially right near the end, when he gave up the puck, he lost his catching glove and went sprawling back into the net and somehow kept it out. And just a few seconds later, Peyton Krebs scored the empty net goal to put the game away. So, it was maybe an easier last 40 minutes of the game, but the first 20, they were producing turnovers. They got their first goal because of it, Oslin's goal, but they weren't able to really score on Hoffer after that in the first period. And then the Blues kind of took the period over a little bit after that, but then the Sabres got it back.
So Alex Lyon is apparently injured. When did that happen?
Not sure. I mean, he scrambled around. I'm wondering if it was when he was scrambling around, to be quite honest with you, because he did, you know, kind of dive back and do the splits and get back in net. The empty net goal was at 18:44, so that was about the 18-minute mark that he did that. So not being there either in St. Louis or in Dallas right now, nobody really has said in trying to watch Lindy Ruff's press conference back, it skips. I don't know what's happening with the Sabres feed, but that's happened for a couple of weeks now. It just skips and you don't really get complete sentences. So I didn't really get exactly what he said about Lyon, but it is possible that they may have to activate Ellis to back up Lukanen.
I read a report that Ruff said he would be able to do that if necessary, which makes me wonder if Ellis hasn't been ready or able for a while.
No question. He's been in practice doing everything he's supposed to be doing. You know, it's, so it's not like they've been holding him out or anything. It's been like any other practice. They just haven't activated him.
So I asked Brian Koziol this yesterday, and I'm sure I've asked this. We've talked about this together, you and I. Just what is maybe the most surprising about all of this? You have to get on a roll like this. I mean, they're not blowing anybody out. The goaltending has to come with it, and that certainly happened for these guys. But would that be the most surprising thing? I don't think goaltending can ever be the most surprising thing. So what do you make of this success?
Well, I think Ruff let a goaltender get on a roll for the first time all year and use him like the number one goaltender with Lyon. Now, he doesn't appear to be doing that anymore. It looks like maybe he's going to be alternating now between Lyon, if Lyon is healthy, and Lukanen. But, you know, the Lyon, if you remember, hadn't won a game since October. And then all of a sudden he got in the net, won the game, and stayed in the net and just kept winning games along the way and was playing very, very well. So I think that really helped, getting him on a roll and just allowing one of the goaltenders. And remember when I was just saying, pick one. Let one get on a roll. I mean, pick one and play one. And they did that finally, and it was Lyon. So I think that was very important. And all of a sudden they bought into what Lindy Ruff was selling, which they hadn't done in a year and a half. They did it sometimes, but not a lot. And now it's really helped them better to be better defensively because they are much, much better with the puck. Nowhere near as many turnovers that turn into 3-on-1s, occasionally 3-on-0s, or 2-on-1s, or 2-on-0s, or breakaways. I mean, that was just constantly happening to them. And they were, you know, making their goaltender make too many big save opportunities. And they've been much, much better with the puck, especially in third periods. I don't think they've played a poor third period since Seattle. They've either been defending a one-goal lead or tied in every game since. And
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Think have done a really good job. Look at last night. They outshot the Blues 12-2 in the third period. And, you know, Benson scored very early in that third period to give them the lead. And then finally Krebs put it away with the open net goal. So, you know, they had once again play in a close game during a third period, although I thought they pretty much dominated the third period. The Blues were not in their zone very often.
So when you have like this turnaround, they've done the thing that you talked about that they needed to do, which was string wins together. So with more than half the season to go, they're basically right back at the beginning, right in the middle with Florida and the Rangers and the Devils and several other teams. What do you think of their chances now?
Yeah, well, it's not lost on them. You know, the pregame interviews yesterday, both Bo Byram and Lindy Ruff, it's like, well, yeah, we're playing better, but we can't afford to get on any type of a losing streak because they've just gotten there now. This is the first time by points percentage they are in a playoff spot. I mean, it took them 9 straight wins. I said 10, to get back in, it'd probably take 10. I was off by 1. So right now they're tied with Florida. Florida would have the 7th spot with the tiebreaker, and Buffalo would have the 8th spot, and they're just barely ahead of the Washington Capitals by points percentage. So right now they are in when you do it that way. And But the thing is, you're not going to win every game. And there's probably going to be an occasion where you're going to lose two in a row. And you're hoping that you don't string three or four in a row together. I mean, that's just the way a hockey season goes. So you had to do all this winning to get where you are right now, and you just barely are in the playoffs now. But you have to, you know, make sure that you don't get on any of these long losing streaks, that you go tumbling back down again. You've worked too hard to get where you are right now, and you have to continue to work hard to stay there.
Tomorrow night, Dallas. That is a 8 o'clock game like last night, so pregame at 7. Paul, we'll look forward to hearing you then.
I will be on with Brian. Take care.
Thank you. Paul Hamilton with us on the Wester Hotline pregame show tomorrow night, Sabres and Stars, as I just said, 7 o'clock. More after this. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.